As you may see from the notes on the back of the bulletin, the sermon reflects upon teachings from our introit from Psalm 146 and also from the gospel reading and also a little bit from the 1 Kings 17 reading. To start, I reread just verses 3, 4, and 5 from Psalm 146, our introit. There the psalmist says, "Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. And on that very day his plans perish. Blessed is the man whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Definitely one of the concerns that I heard while I was in Ghana for the two conferences in Accra and also in that town of Nakmanduri, and in discussions, was a common concern that we Christians here would have too. How is the Lord taking care of us? What does he want us to do? How will we accomplish this or that? How should we pray to God? What should we think about God's care for us? And it shows up in different ways because you have different contexts and different troubles and problems. But at the root, for Christians, that's the same concern. God's care for us. And I saw in the introit and in the extended reading from 1 Kings 17 and also, of course, from Matthew 6, Jesus is talking and God is teaching exactly this, his care for his people. In Psalm 146, it's really, really clear who the psalmist says we should trust. He says, don't trust in princes. And if you look there, and he's talking about human powers and human rulers. Don't trust in princes. And he says there is no salvation in them. And that almost is a very quick phrase way of saying it. Don't trust in human powers. There's no salvation there. But rather, the psalmist says, but trust rather in the Lord who made the heaven and the earth and all that is in them. And if you just reflect on those two concepts, on those two things, the human powers, human leaders, they don't have salvation. They can't provide salvation. But God, who made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, that's where we would turn. It's the one who has made all these things. The next few verses of Psalm 146, maybe you would count it more, but I find at least six types of situations or persons that are named there. And I have that little list on those notes. The Lord helps the oppressed, the hungry, the blind, the sojourner, the widow, and the fatherless. Those are all mentioned there. The oppressed, the hungry, the blind, the sojourner or foreigner, stranger, the widow, and the fatherless. Those are all mentioned in that psalm. So all the people that are facing these situations plus more, the psalmist says they should look to the Lord who created the heavens and the earth. And this is the constant theme in both the Old and New Testament. That God is the creator and he is in control of all things, the true God, the Lord God. There's also something, I have a small note there. What verse is that in? Verse 6 says, who made the heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. And that last phrase in verse 6 says, Who keeps faith forever? And that's something else so vital about the true God, is that he keeps his promises. He keeps his relationship. He keeps his mercy forever. So not only has he created and sustained all things, which humans have not created and sustained all things, but rather turned to God, who created and sustains all things, plus, he keeps his faith forever. He is reliable. It's an amazing story, the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings 17. So the widow has just enough flour and oil for one meal left. And Elijah goes and says to her, please prepare a meal for me. She says, I'm gathering sticks for my last fire. We're going to finish up the flour and oil, and my son and I will die. But then he makes a promise. God makes a promise to the widow by Elijah, says, as long as there's no rain, as long as this drought is going, the flour will not end, the oil will not end. And she believed him, and she made him a meal, and she and her son also ate, ongoing. And as I was looking at that, did you see in that last verse, as it kind of summarizes the end, what's going on there, it says, verse 16 of 1 Kings 17, the jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord. According to God's promise that Elijah had said, it wasn't according to the size of the faith of the lady. It wasn't according to her powerful prayers. It wasn't according to any other human thing, but according to the word of the Lord, the promise of the Lord, the oil did not end and the flour did not end. I think I could have used that passage in Ghana, where the belief is coming up, not so much in the Lutheran church and the Lutheran members, but it's starting. But all through southern Ghana, there's billboards and posters all over the place for this prophet or this apostle, this prophet or this apostle, with their mighty works and wonders. And it's increased, I would say. You know, I just was there about 2 years ago, and then 2 years ago, it's increased. There's a noticeable increase in this kind of thing going on in southern Ghana. So that it's perceived that it's the power or the prestige or really the beauty of the preacher or the fame of the preacher that gives the power to the prayers, that gives success. To such an extent, John Donkwa, the bishop, the president of the ELCG, of course, we had a lot of time together as we traveled up and down the country. He said, Dr. Carl, even our politicians now are traveling to Nigeria to go see these prophets and apostles so that they would get some blessings from them so that they would win elections. And this is really a troubling turn in the politics going on in Ghana. Is that the type of thing Elijah said to the widow? Go to this special place, and then if you do good enough, and that person is famous enough, and the person is handsome enough, and the person has a big enough congregation, if you go to that one, then you'll have the oil and flour last forever. But what's emphasized here is a promise from God. Just quiet and unremarkable. Don't even get a different jug. Don't even get a different container. Just the oil will not finish and the flour will not finish. You watch and see. A simple promise from God to care for her and her family. And she believed. And it happened. The psalmist for Psalm 146, He points out to us that what is one of the reasons we have to be careful about promises from human powers and human sources. He said in verse 4, when his breath departs, he returns to the earth. So everybody dies. The ruler will die. And then the second part of verse 4, and on that very day his plans perish. What's our proverb? What's our saying? New king, new law. Right? New president, new law. New mayor, new law. It's the same everywhere throughout history. When the person in power dies, then that person's plans go away and somebody else takes over. But for God, who created all things, the heavens and the earth and all things in them, he is the faithful one. He is the one we look to and trust. I don't know. What happens if you go to Nigeria, you get a special blessing, you win the election, and then the guy dies? Humans come and go. But God endures forever. In the reading from Matthew chapter 6, Jesus' teaching, two things, there's an emphasis he has there, don't be anxious or worry about this. He mentions that in a number of ways. But you see this emphasis, he says to them, your heavenly Father. And it's framed by this. Your heavenly Father cares and feeds the birds. Of course he's going to feed you. And your heavenly Father, and at the end of that saying, he says, the Gentiles seek after these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Jesus is calling his followers to understand God and to believe in God as their Father, who takes care of them. You can have the car sitting in the driveway, but if the child doesn't have the father or mother or another caretaker to drive that car, the car doesn't do any good. What we as children of God really need, we need him. He takes care of us. He can give us many things, but we need him because he is faithful. He does not die. He has created all things. So the challenge, oftentimes, is to understand and believe that God is our Father. Because if he is our Father and he created the heavens and earth and everything in them, then we're okay because he's watching over us. And if we don't believe God is our Heavenly Father, we can have car and land and business and all these things. But if we don't have God as our Heavenly Father, then all these things are like the child that has the car in the driveway, but you don't have the Father to drive, to watch over you. So Jesus calls us to faith, to believe in God as our Heavenly Father, who knows all things and is watching all things. And this teaching has been throughout scriptures, is in the Old Testament as well. So Jesus says, so seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It's not a seeking so that we're good enough or holy enough because we seek first God's kingdom and then we get the stuff. It's not like go to Nigeria and then get your blessing. But rather, that's what you need, actually. You need your Father's kingdom. You need to be in God's kingdom. You need his holiness, his righteousness. That's what you really need because he's your Father. And since he's your Father, then the other needs will be added as well. It's a call to faith. It's a call to recognize God as Father who's watching over all things. The devil tempts us in different ways to think God's not in control or to look to some earthly power or solution is that's the perfect answer, that's the perfect solution, to look away from God. Many temptations in many different ways in different cultures. But the temptation is the same, to look away from God as our Father. And Jesus says, no, He is your Heavenly Father. He is watching over all things. Look to Him. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are our Heavenly Father. We ask you to strengthen our faith when we doubt or forget. We ask you to enable us, to give us trust in you so that we put all our worries into your hands. We ask you to show us again and again that your power and your mercy take care of us. And you know of all things that are troublesome. And you are in control of all things. And we ask you to give us the words every day to pray to you, to bring our concerns and troubles to you in prayer. So that even if things are worrying us, this or that, yet we turn to you, for you are our Heavenly Father. And we pray to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.